Go ahead, Keith, if you want to.
I haven't thought of anything yet.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
Oh, there's Andrew. Hello, hello.
How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Welcome back.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hope the wedding went well.
It did. It was a couple actually from Louisiana, of all places.
Oh.
Yeah, they were from Lafayette, which is it's a city close to Baton Rouge, which is the capital of the state.
Yeah.
And the groom, he works in Texas, basically the Louisiana area, you know, like it's really big in petroleum with the Gulf of Mexico and so forth. Yeah. So he's in the oil business. So he's in Texas laying pipelines for transportation of oil. So.
Oh.
Just what our climate needs.
What a nice break for him to go to Sedona.
Oh yeah, but it was very hot actually. It was really hot. But they had about maybe, they had 28 people that came, so.
That's pretty good. Is that large by your standards?
You know, like nowadays with the virus, it's yes, it is. People are kind of breaking down their groups a bit. Although for the fall, there's some big weddings lined up. Some are canceling, others are trying to decide what to do.
Yeah.
The venues are trying to monitor what's happening. One venue particularly is they're doing taking temperatures of people.
Oh.
Requiring the caterers and all the vendors to wear masks, allowing only 10 people on a dance floor at a time.
Wow.
I don't know how you can control somebody. Anyway.
Yeah.
So it's kind of really out there right now. It's just really crazy.
Do you have a lot of events at the Enchantment Resort?
My wife does. She does planning, and she does a lot of big events out there. There's Seven Canyons, which is an exclusive golf course with homes on it that people purchase or rent.
Oh.
And they have a clubhouse with catering and so forth. And so it's right next to Enchantment. So they combine the two things, and they do the accommodations at Enchantment, and then they do the ceremonies at Seven Canyons. They can also do them in Enchantment too. But usually if the group is large enough, they prefer to do something like at Seven Canyons.
Yeah, I've been to Enchantment. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's really nice. Oh. Although right now things are really kind of crazy with, you know, what's going on, so.
Yeah. Anyway, well, we'll go back to the larger matters.
Yeah.
The more significant understandings and explorations. We're going to say goodbye to the phenomenal and go into the noumenal.
Okay.
Right?
Good. Yeah.
Okay, we have Martin. Okay. Is that you, Sonny?
Yes, that is me. I'm sorry. I'm a happy man. Sorry. I'm trying to keep it down.
That's all right. It's okay to be happy.
Hey, I just want to say something. I'm sorry. I've only been on this group one time. I've avoided it my whole life. John, I've always been jealous of your experiences from the beginning because it all just seemed to fall in place for you so easily, which, I mean, I take all my hats off to you, but it was like impossible for me to listen to you because it just all seemed so matter of fact and easy, and you seem to have such a wonderful relationship with Maharaj. And I, you know, it's been 4 years and 3 months since I've met Maharaj, and it never was simple. It never was easy. Meditation, repetition of the mantra, just exceedingly difficult. But after 4 years and 3 months, I have finally saw some improvement in that area. And I just want to say, for all those that are having a not too easy time, which I have never had on this path, that it doesn't matter. That's all.
Ramana Maharshi said that there is some people are like dry wood, catch on immediately. Some people are like fresh and cut wood, and other people are like waterlogged wood.
A green wood.
Green wood. Yeah. So, but everyone dries out sooner or later. So.
Even a piece of lead, I guess.
Yeah, you just have to not give up.
That's all it takes.
You just give up.
Don't look, I would say, don't, I mean, signs of progress may not ever come, but something arrives. Thank you, sorry. No, shut me off if you need to. Please.
Not at all.
Me.
It's all good. Presence, you know, that's the answer. I met Maharaj before I met Maharaj in body form. And this was just somehow understood. And from the first time Skyping, that presence was reflected. And there was the understanding that this presence is now in this body form speaking. And that going to India was the end of form, because this presence was leading itself to itself with the concept, one, having a body to surrender, and the other knowing purely that they're absolute presence and nothing more. And the recognition and the projection, and boom, that's it. But that presence, that's why Maharaj says so important meditation. Meditation is so important, that you invite the attention of the invisible listener, that you do the mantra, then you listen to the mantra as it's running, that you stop paying attention to this little worldly life that you are not having, that actually is not happening. But see, the trust has to be there. You have to say, yes, I'm stepping out of this body form, and that's that. I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain body, I'm stepping out of this body form. All experiences, all happenings are occurring to this body form, which I am not. Happiness, unhappiness, all these sort of things is only with body. Space in the room is not having happiness or unhappiness. And that's the ultimate truth. No experience, no experiencer. But inviting the attention of the invisible listener, remaining with that sense of presence, and going deeper and deeper and deeper with your selfless self. The meditation is the most important thing. And meditation, like Maharaj says, is not sitting there chanting or sitting for hours or whatever. Meditation is remaining with your selfless self and allowing all these things to appear on your presence, thoughts, emotions, your so-called worldly life. All of these things come and go. You remain with your selfless self.
And John, I find the mere effort to be enough.
Yeah, there has to be earnestness, like you're on fire and you're running to put yourself out.
Getting or receiving the answers is not what it's about. It's about the effort will get you there.
Well, as long as there's not something or someone creating this concept of effort and then a doership of I am doing this and therefore I expect results. Because the formlessness that you are, there's no result, there's no progress, there's no anything. So the progress is just basically dissolving the layers of illusion that have appeared on your presence. The body is like the clothes. You either wear them very loosely or very tightly. If you wear them tightly, then they're noticed. If you wear them loosely, they're not noticed at all. And remaining with your selfless self through mantra, an absolute faith and trust in the master, lets these clothes loosen. It dissolves this, you know, it shakes apart this body pressure. All these pressures of thoughts and such that keep you believing yourself to be in a body form, they're not true. But you have to know this. You have to truly have this conviction that this life that I appear to be living is absolutely nothing. Nothing can happen. Nothing has been happening and nothing's ever going to happen. The formlessness, the space in this room is not affected by any of the objects that are in the room, nor can any of the objects in the room touch the space. The Maharaj all the time points, if at all you want to compare yourself to sky or space. You're formless. Every question is a doubt about your formlessness.
I was reading listening actually to Amritlaya 3 today, one of the dialogues, and Siddhartha was saying that he just kept, you know, like over and over, practice, 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 practice. We like to listen, he said, but we don't like to do the practice. And that's what he kept reiterating, the practice, sacrificing the ego and the body and the ego. Mind and ego, you know, just hammering away at it.
In every moment. Yeah. As every moment arises, you just discard this concept of being a limited body form, and you do that with mantra, you know? And you don't pay attention to the things that are going on around outside, because to have an outside, you have to be a body. And yourself knows this. As you act, like Maharaj says, live like a god, live like Brahman, live like Atman, Paramatman, and not like, oh, everybody has to bow to my feet, I'm so great. No, live as though you are that formlessness in which all of this is occurring. We're not taking the touch of any of these form-based experiences because there's no experience, no experiencer. The illusion of experience is created because of the belief in being a body in a world with a mind. And mind, it's very easy to discard thought because all the thoughts that the mind is projecting, all the things that the mind has ever known, came along with the body, which you are not. The mind can only present thoughts, images, and ideas to you, the formlessness, as if you were from the perception of being a body form, a memory where you had a body and you had an experience and it's remembered. And then there's the idea of wanting to either increase this experience or decrease that experience for good experience, bad experience. And the mind just projects all these thoughts, all these images to you who are formless and not having any experience. And once you know yourself in a real sense, you know, you remain, like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, you remain with the I am. Ramakant Maharaj just says, be with you always. And you just be there. The practice is simply, I remain with my selfless self. behind the mind. I'm observing the mind, so therefore I'm behind the mind, and I'm prior to mind. And this mind can't tell me anything about myself because it came after. Behind everything, your presence is there. Presence can be felt because you have a body as an instrument to dip into that space in the room and feel that space in the room with this instrument of body.
There is nothing you have to realize or attain as long as you hammer yourself. I'm not even going to say meditation because in my particular whatever, quote unquote meditation was never achieved by this body, but hammering, not being anywhere near constant, but, you know, repeated hammerings. He Ramakant Maharaj will show you what you need to see. There's nothing you need to know. There's nothing to realize. It's all an obstacle, but the hammering will bring you to somewhere.
Yeah, you invite the attention of the invisible listener. You do that through mantra, remaining with yourself. And that then that's, you know, consciousness remaining with consciousness, if you whatever you want to call it, presence with presence, because the presence is not in body form. And the presence sensing itself through the body, there's a touch and a feeling, and you pull in, and you just remain with presence. That's it. Presence with presence, consciousness with consciousness. You know, they talk about a glass of ice in warm water, whatever you want to call it. It's just, it's dissolving. And yes, even this dissolving is occurring within the dream. There's nothing dissolving. There's nothing adding. There's nothing, nothing, nothing. So prior to being this, there was none of these things. All of this came along with the body and then the belief, I am a body that needs to have realization. Realization is a word that you learned after coming into contact with the body that you are not. The unborn child understands realization and enlightenment and all these sort of things. But this, that you are, has nothing to do with any of that. And yet, while in this body-based illusion, you know yourself in a real sense, I'm not body. I just remain here. When this body falls, you won't even know because there's no feeling a body now. And of course, the power, lifting the left hand, lifting the right hand, scratching the nose. Okay, yes, yes. So this is evident, but you're the formlessness. You're the energy, the power, whatever you want to call it. Even calling it is not necessary.
Well, thinking tells you that that you can feel the body. That's what thought tells you. I'm not saying it's true, but.
Well, and see, when you say, I feel my body, it's not me.
All those words and the me, even the meaning of the words is not me.
Yeah, again, when we start to dive into this body-based illusion, then the words that came along with the body that we gave meaning to because of the body, then we start to try and explain what cannot be explained and what was prior to body with the words that we learned in the body experience. And you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain body.
Like I wanted to ask, I was going to ask, can you say it two different ways? Or now that I also see it's better to say it in no way, neither way. Is it correct? Would you say it's applicable to say that the presence eventually recognizes itself, or the presence recognizes what is not itself?
Well, remember again, this is all mind. Like,
right. So either way, it's
as soon as you. The Maharaj gives the example, you're Keith. You don't have to say, Keith is behaving like this, I am Keith. You're one with this label Keith. So be one with this label Brahman. That, therefore, I am Brahman is also an illusion because you are Brahman. You don't need to say, I am Brahman. You don't need to know Brahman, you are that. But when we're talking about presence, inviting the attention of the invisible listener, the conviction comes, you're formless. Nothing in this form-based illusion is true. They're appearances. The seen, Maharaj says, the seen is absolutely illusion. The seer is reality. And the seer is formless. And the same seer is in each one of these body forms seeing. It's just one presence. Maharaj says the entire world appears upon your spontaneous presence.
Yeah.
That's when you recognize that it's you seeing, it's all you, I guess.
Well, there's no you to recognize. Yeah. I mean, literally, it's just, every time you form a question, think about the fact that is the space that I am experiencing what I'm about to ask this question about? Because every question is a doubt about your formlessness. That's why when they talk about Nisargadatta Maharaj responded very, very fast, Ramakant Maharaj responded very, very fast, because absolutely, there's no position you can take that is yourself. So any position that you take to form a question or to talk about an experience is not true. Automatically, it's discarded.
It's like you can stumble over words, but you can't stumble over presence.
Yeah, words, you can get lost in a long time because then there's something to know and someone who wants to know it, which is, no, this is not correct.
Once again, I'm going to interject understanding. I mean, all those things are fucking wonderful. But don't let some idea that there is something you have to understand to be that, it's nonsense. I don't mean that in any linguistic manner. I don't know. All of us don't know. That's it. You might see something else, but it seems like, I mean, to me, I don't know anything else besides that, but that's all it takes. It's nothing. Yet, you know.
Well, and Maharaj, the video that I sent out last week, it was, if there's no I, there's no why. When there's a why, then there's an I that wants to know something. There's nothing.
Yes.
Don't disturb yourself with ideas about other things and then believe them to be true.
Don't even disturb yourself with ideas of this path in that, say, you know, following that. Although it's great, it's wonderful to think about, and you will without trying. And it's just so easy if you don't try. But then again, you got to meditate, so I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Thank you.
Well, that is, meditation is different. Master, formless presence in body form, has told you, because of your belief in body, the formless presence within this form, mantra. This mantra was passed on through from Dattatreya all the way through. Each one, Siddhameshwar gave to Nisargadatta Maharaj, Nisargadatta Maharaj gave to Ramakant Maharaj, Ramakant Maharaj gave to you. It's a scientific, proven process. The bhajans, you listen to the bhajans, you can sing the bhajans. For me personally, I like just listening to bhajans. Listen to them 3 times a day, and it shakes that body. If you've, you're in the ashram, and you're singing and doing all these things, you literally loosen this body pressure. Like we talked about, you might walk into the ashram with a tight shirt, but as the bhajans are going, the shirt is loosening. You're feeling less and less of this body pressure. Then you sit afterwards and you listen to Master, and Master says, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. Absolutely, you are formless. And he says this in 100,000 different ways with many different nice stories, but you are not body. And that's it. Then this devotion comes spontaneously because, yes, thank you, Master. And Master is not in body form, so you can be back in the ashram little apartment and praising, and oh yes, Master, thank you, I remain with my selfless self. Something's happening? No, this is not happening. I'm remaining with my selfless self. All of this, and Maharaj talks about that Atma Nividan Bhakti or whatever, this automatic response, this automatic flowing of devoting yourself to Master. You and Master are one and the same. It's formlessness. You're not disturbing yourself with, I am somebody doing this practice.
John, I'm sorry. God bless you. God bless you, man. There needs to be an adult in the room and listen to this man.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's not a...
I'm sorry.
No, it's quite all right. Nothing is...
That was Master in my life. I finally got an adult in the room with me, and he talked to me. That's all it takes. Thank you, John.
Yeah, again, for me, when I went to India, I went to meet the presence and surrender absolutely. That was it. Only one thought of my mind. I wrote in my journal, I said, I want to leave myself at your feet, no matter what. Because the mind could cause a disturbance of a flow of thoughts that says, this isn't real, or you're imagining, or something is happening, and you're crazy. But then you go and surrender, and in the surrender, you find yourself in front of the Master, who is the formless presence that led you to itself, and that formless presence says, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. This presence that subtly felt through the body form is all there is. That's it. Nothing other than that, and that you are. And then Master places his hand on your head and initiates you and gives you this mantra. And then the most beautiful thing is then experiences that appear to be occurring are then brushed aside with mantra, so you remain with yourself. You don't get caught up in illusion. And it becomes a game almost that you are, okay, something's happening. It's very looking like it's very scary or whatever. No, remain with selfless self. Mantra. Observe the body form going through the experience without an experiencer being created, because the mind is kept busy with mantra. Whew. But you see, this is for all of us, right here, right now. And we talk about this every week. The video goes away. The next moment you're doing something, you get a call and it's some bad news or whatever. This is not bad news. This is a chance to remain with your selfless self using mantra and then go through it. You wind up stuck in traffic. This is not you being stuck in traffic. This is a chance for you to remain with your selfless self. I am not body. There is no traffic. You're communicating constantly, this two-way communication. Master says, what you impress reflects. If you impress, I am Brahman. Brahman I am. Continue the mantra. Remain with yourself, the self. Then the experience that the seer is seeing will reflect what the seer is knowing, and the seer is knowing nothing, not even itself.
How do you feel about the, you know, like sometimes what helps me, and this may not be correct, or, you know, but I do have the feeling sometimes that in the better moments, that everything is myself. You know, it says that in the bhajans. You know, I think they end with everything is myself. And it really, you know, like it's from that perspective, it seems that everything is perfect because it's just myself, and you know it cannot be any other way. I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say? Like it takes the fear away and the you know.
That's absolutely true. No?
You know.
Yeah, because you know when the body treasure is there, then the fear comes. Now that I-ness is going beyond the body.
Yeah.
Not saying like that's ultimate. Yeah, fear is dissolving when the body, the association with the body is gone. That's cool.
But again, we talk about like the empty boat. You're laying down in a boat, very nice, in the middle of a lake. A boat hits your boat, and you jump up to go and complain. But then. That is your interaction with all people all day long. They're empty boats. It's presence and body form only for you to have this experience of non-experience. Just like, you know, oh, something is happening and somebody, all your customers cancel for the day. This is not customers canceling for the day. This is an opportunity to step through the doorway to your own selfless self. And have no experience, no experiencer, and observe that all these things are taken care of quite nicely without there needing to be a you that's having the concept of doing something.
Sometimes I feel like I maybe intervene where I, you know, like particularly now with, you know, dealing with groups of people, I've canceled, well, I've not taken weddings because of the risk factor. People want to, especially very young people, they want to just bring in, you know, like tons of people for events and so forth, which is, you know, we're being advised not to do that. But oftentimes it's confusing where, you know, like when I do intervene, you know, like and do things, sometimes I take on the doership of that, you know, there's a residue of doership. I mean, I can tell myself intellectually that I'm not the doer. Everything is basically happening the way it's, you know, it's just, everything happens by itself in a sense. You know, it's the impersonal functioning of the totality, as Nisargadatta would say. But at the same time, and I can say that intellectually, but there is a residue of a whole, you know, like a sense of doership there, of responsibility, or, you know, like there's not that, I don't feel like freedom, that complete, absolute, total freedom from that involvement. And I know that, you know, like if I go, if I step aside and start doing the mantra, or, you know, listening to the bhajans, or remembering some of the things that I've, you know, read and listened to, you know, from the masters, you know, eventually I settle back down. But in that moment, it's kind of like, you know, there is that kind of like getting twisted a bit, you know what I'm saying? Backflip. It's not that absolute freedom that I sense that you have. That
backflip into presence.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Backflip into presence. In any moment that you're feeling disturbed, take a moment, just stop and backflip into presence. Because before meeting Maharaj, I have explained before, presence, even as the size of a dime, that I am just the size of a dime, that just I. And instead of appearing all this world and jumping into it, backflip into the presence. Because it grows. In reality, it doesn't grow. The dissolution of being something and someone dissolves within the presence. But as long as there's a body understanding, as you just mentioned, that, oh, I sometimes get caught up in the doing, presence. Because, see, we're kind of trained that we have to respond right away to some 911 emergency or something like that and lose yes. ourselves, which is how Maharaj talks about the chariot. And if you let these horses go all over the whole place, then the chariot tips over and then you're out of control. Once the chariot tips over and the horses are dragging you, you're kind of done. But prior to this, you rein them in. And you rein them in by just pausing for a moment, remaining with your selfless self. Where, you know, okay, deep. Okay, now I start to sense that sense of presence. Take a deep breath. And now I can go and appear in the world doing whatever needs doing without a sense of doership, because I'm reminding myself, refreshing my memories. I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. Not by saying it, but by just inviting the attention of the invisible listener. And this is anyone, this is the finish. And any time you're sitting there and, okay, so that I, okay, just presence, just this subtle, subtle feeling. This that appears is not happening. I know that. And now I just have to remain with myself. And the more I remain with myself, as Nisargadatta Maharaj talks about, once you're remaining with the I am, it reveals all the secrets. And the secrets are that the world is total not happening. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And remaining with your selfless self, this mind flow can come and go. Okay, have a nice day. You're standing at the river bank. You're no longer floating around in the river or trying to swim through the river. You're just standing at the riverbank. Some trash comes through the river. Okay. Nice clear water. Okay. A lot of fish. Okay. I'm just sitting at the riverbank. I'm not disturbed. I'm not jumping in and flowing along with it. And the whole idea that Maharaj has said, impressing, is you're prior to mind. You don't have to see prior to this whole spiritual journey. We were just flowing along with the river and we just thought that's just the way it is. You know, I flow along with this river. Sometimes I hit logs. Sometimes I get drowning. I'm barely able to survive. I can sometimes get my head out of the water. But the truth is, I can get out of the river. Truly, I can stand up and the water's only knee deep. Whereas I thought it was uncontrollable. Oh my God, my mind. Good thoughts are going, bad thoughts are going. But you just stand up and sit on the river's bed. Okay, now you're out. Now you know you're out. Why jump back in?
You won't be able to.
There's no thought. Truly, once you stop believing this illusion of being a body and having experiences in a world, there's nothing to think about. What are you going to think about? The space in the room doesn't have any thoughts. In the beginning, you may have a slower flow because maybe there's identification with the body and every so often a thought comes that seems very personal, but that's when you remain with your selfless self, because then you the you that you are sees that there was no need to identify with that thought, it can just go. And then, like Maharaj says, a thought, oh, I'm thirsty, okay, I activate this body, drink a little drink of water, and put it back down. I'm not thinking about the process, nor am I thinking about anything. I just said, okay, have a drink of water, have a drink of water. That's it. Maharaj says, do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities. Don't be like, oh, I'm a spiritual man. My family is, you know, just lumps of goo animated by presence, and therefore I don't have to pay attention to them. No, that's not so good.
Being totally unenlightened, I still have thoughts, but they just flow, but there's not a single problem with a single one of them.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous, but the only thing, the only person standing in the way of that is just you. You're just fighting it every step, single step of the way from the moment you became a body, that you believed you were a body. It's only you. There's nothing in your way at all. It's just you are just fighting yourself every second. That's all it is.
Well, like Maharaj says, they put out a bunch of delicious dishes. You don't eat every single dish. You say, oh, this I like, this I don't like. That's quite all right. Okay. Some thoughts are okay, you take them. Some thoughts are not okay, you leave them. You're the master of the mind, because now you're not flowing along with that river. You're sitting on the river bank. Just nothing is touching you. And yes, truly diving into presence. While there is still the concept or the kind of pressure of being a body, use that instrument to jump back into presence. Forget about the world, because the world is not true. Nothing is going to happen terrible if you remain with yourself and then respond. It's spontaneous action in the moment. There is no nothing. You don't have to think about it or figure it out. The most important thing, Master has told you, the world is illusion. You've read all the books. You know you're Brahman. You know that all of this world is completely, entirely illusion. Now you impress this through your, as Maharaj says, this is practical spirituality, meaning put into the next moment everything you've learned. You take one step, the master takes the next step. You take one step, the master takes the next step. But in the next thing that you believe, uh-oh, my livelihood depends on this huge decision. No, remain with yourself, and then spontaneously this decision will arise. This thing that needs to be done will be done in the moment.
That's where, you know, like it's so, sometimes I'm ready to chuck everything. I mean, you know, I just feel that, I don't feel, basically it's, how far can I go with this? Can I, people need a response. So, you know, oh, you got to give it a response. Can I just stop, period, and then just wait to see what happens spontaneously? In other words, most of the time everything is very fine, but there are times like, for instance, like now, when I just wonder, how far can I really go with this? Just stop it all. Just completely stop, period.
Well, but you know, as they say,
full stop.
Yeah. If you just continue on, you will stop.
But then there's, you don't want to have the idea of I'm stopping, you know, and you don't want to sit there and create non-doership as an activity.
Exactly right.
Yes.
The idea, when you remain with yourself, you'll move forward. Now, even in the wellness centers and all of that they tell the people, they always say pause. So it's a normal, natural thing to pause, but instead of just pausing, pause and refresh your memories. Okay. And now that this presence, because see, like Master says, there has to be complete faith and trust. You believe that these people are separate individuals and that somehow, some way, there's actually some activity occurring. The truth is, presence is in all. There is one presence, one mind, one whatever you want to call it. And while you are pausing and then speaking, that presence within that body form that you are speaking to is your own selfless self. As you have complete trust and complete faith in the Master, you pause and just refresh your memories, feel that sense of presence, and then speak whatever's happening and just see. Because again, everything that you impress is reflecting. You're the projector, and you project based on the ideas, beliefs, and concepts. Think about it as a big projector, and there's a little bit broken glass. And as you're projecting, it's not quite right. Then you get a clearer glass. Okay, now you get a different projector, and you're getting more and more and more subtle because you are taking the next step. You're stepping out of this. And that, you know, you could say whatever you like. When I went to India, I stepped out of myself. And I did that basically at Dulles Airport. When I got onto the little subway thing, I stepped onto the subway and I was overwhelmed. Like, yes, this presence is guiding. And a year before that, I never would have gone to India because I would have had to have had a female with me, because everywhere I went with someone else. And yet when this presence, when I abandoned myself to presence as I understood this, then wherever this presence takes you, okay, let's go. This is okay. Plane took off. Okay, I remain with presence. Matter of fact, I was listening to Bhajans the whole way from USA to France. And before I knew it, damn, we're in France already. Because just listening to Bhajans, reading Selfless Self, I didn't read the whole time because it was dark on the plane, so I couldn't see a lot of, you know, you have your little overhead light, but it's not really the same thing. And I just sat, and that was another cool thing too. I got on the plane and I was kind of squished, and the lady came who I knew was presence. I write about this in the blog. I knew was presence. She said, listen, you look a little uncomfortable. Why don't you come? There's a seat up in the front that we has no people in it. And that's Maharaj. Because Maharaj already, when I was on the plane, I said, you know what? I hate vegetables. I'm not eating vegetables. But then Maharaj, it was, okay, whatever's in front of you, you're looking for the first time. You've never eaten any of these things. You've never had this experience of eating any of these. You don't know what it's tasting. You just eat. And I did, which then led to being in the ashram and being able to eat whatever they put in front of me there. This is the complete faith and trust in the Master. And again, thanking. Oh, thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. I write in the journal all the time about coming to India. And I was in this long, long, long line, the wrong line. And my plane had been totally deplaned, and I get to the front, finally, and they say, oh, no, you need to go through that line over there, which there was no line. And I had waited like an hour in this line. And then I go to this line, and when I was in this line, the guy was like, oh, you have to tell me where you're going. I said, I'm going to see Maharaj. He's like, what? No, you got to give me more information. But again, I knew that there was no ticket taker, that was Maharaj. And all Maharaj wanted was for me to remain with my selfless self, because the whole experience of being in the line could be disturbing. It could impress disturbance. But Maharaj was the ticket taker. Maharaj was waiting to see, had I created an experience or was I going with the teachings? I went with the teachings because that's the only thing that is. And even when they went, my bag had been, there was no more little turnstile. The bag was way off in Nowhereville. I again went to the guy who was Maharaj, and I said, I deplaned about an hour ago, but I got in the wrong line. where might my bag be? And he kind of laughed, and then they went over, and over in the corner was my bag kind of smushed a little bit, and I took my bag and went to the cab. I missed my regular cab because, of course, I'm an hour late, but again, I went to Maharaj in the form of another cab driver who took me back to KK Travels, and then KK Travels, Maharaj was the driver, and we drove and talked a little bit, and then I just sat in amazement and looked at the whole of India while I was driving on that drive, and just the expansiveness, and praising Master that we're here. We're on this road. And at the end of this road, this presence that has been with me the entire time, I'm going to get to meet. And that was just, that was it. This has to be this earnestness, this burning. And now that Maharaj has left the body, he's here. Like you could used to say, oh, you know, okay, if I have a question for Maharaj, I text him on WhatsApp or whatever. He texts you sometimes and says, hey, you know, I saw your videos. I like this. Okay, good, good. But now he's everywhere. He's no longer confined in the body. Neither are you. But that's why, you know, Andrew, when you sit and then these people are there and a decision has to be made, you pause. Okay, Master. And then speaking happens. Devotion to the Master.
That's kind of like, you know, like the idea that everything is myself. Everything is Maharaj. Well,
it's not an idea.
Reality, yeah.
It's a reality.
That's just it. Sometimes it's real and sometimes, you know.
It's never not real.
It slips away. The reality slips away. Maybe I'll become unreal. But it's just identifying with the body or the mind, you know, it's just, I mean, like just this weekend, for instance, like for a few days, it was just the whole idea of looking at my history and just seeing how self was there in everything that had, and I felt very thankful. I mean, I was just overwhelmed by a feeling of gratitude to see how self was in everything. I could just look back at so many events in my life, and it was just really amazing. And then, you know, that deep sense of everything is myself here. You know, it's everything is self, not myself specifically, but just self. And then come this week, boom, you know, like it snaps away, and then all of a sudden you're back into this other mind jam. You know? But that's when you do the backflip.
Yeah, backflip into presence.
Yeah.
And knowing that every single so-called person is Maharaj.
Yeah.
When you speak to your next couple, it's Maharaj. And all Maharaj wants to see is that you're not getting carried away. You're not taking the touch of this illusory world. You're remaining with yourself, the self.
The temptation to believe it is my own self somehow is it's somewhat convincing, but
because of long association with the body, you believe you're in the concept of separation, but you're formless, you're not a body. Therefore, the concept of separation, this can be thrown away.
It's funny, Sonny likes to laugh, or he laughs loud. I laugh a lot quiet laughs just as loud and internally.
However.
Well, it's 8:13.
Okay. Good, good, good.
Okay,
thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Jai Sadhguru.
Thank you, sir. Thanks.